Thank you, Paul and Diana. We appreciate you leading us in worship tonight. For some of you, this may be a new experience this evening. For others, you've experienced Lent through different traditions. And so others may be very curious about why. We always thought of this as a Catholic thing, right? This is, but actually, I want to share with you where Lent came from and what it means, and then we're going to be doing some participation tonight as we prepare. This is kind of the starting line as we prepare to navigate and move towards the celebration of Easter. It's just 46 days away. And we're going to talk about the significance of what we're going to do. You might ask, where does it say anything in the Bible about celebrating Lent? Well, it doesn't. It doesn't say anything about it. But there are principles in play. And even going back to the 10th century, we find Lent being an experience of the early church. The first documented mention of the practice of Lent was at the Council of Nicaea. We've all heard about, right, the Nicene Creed. Have you ever heard about that in church tradition? Well, that at this particular council, it wasn't just that creed that they put out, but there were actually 20 practical directions, and they were called canons. Have you ever heard the word canon before? One of the canons, the fifth canon, mentioned Lent, but it didn't give any explanation. It just said it was a practice that the early church would participate in. Well, the reason it didn't give any direction probably was that everybody understood it. It was a practice that they all participated in. As we look back through history, we see that in the beginning, there was like 7 days before Easter, there would be a time of fasting. Easter was often the time when people were baptized. Everybody would wait for that one occasion every year. Of course, we baptize throughout the year. Oftentimes, fasting was in preparation for that. And then, of course, it grew from that, and the day got stretched out farther and farther. And by the time the Council of Nicaea actually met, the time had been extended to 40 days. And this is an interesting word in the Greek. It means tessa yakasti. It means the 40. The 40. What's so significant about this word? Well, the Bible describes all kinds of fasts that often were tied to the 40. Can you think of them? How about Moses? Moses fasted for 40 days on Mount Sinai. What about Elijah? Elijah fasted for 40 days on his way to meet God at Horeb. And then, of course, we're most familiar with Jesus. And he fasted for 40 days in the wilderness, preparing for his ministry. Until 600 AD, Lent began on Sunday, but Gregory the Great is the one who moved it to Wednesday in 600 AD, and we know it today as Ash Wednesday. You were out this day, you probably saw people with a little ash cross on their forehead. That is a tradition and a practice on Ash Wednesday. What does it mean? It is a reminder to us of two things. Not that we're going to do that this evening, but we could. But it reminds us, beyond it being a testimony to people who go, hey, you got something on your forehead, what's wrong with you? And you get to tell them, I kind of like that myself. But also reminds us, in Genesis, it says that from dust we came and to dust we shall return. Here's our ashes from a year ago that we burned, and we're going to do it again tonight. When we did this, we didn't know about the pandemic. We didn't know. It just a few weeks later, we wouldn't even be having church. And so here these ashes represent, and we're going to do it again tonight, and you'll see the significance of some things we're going to burn tonight. We're going to burn some things that we'd like to see God remove from our lives. And this is a reminder. And when we're done tonight, we'll take it and we put it in the prayer room. And it sits in there all year. And it reminds us of this truth. From dust I came, and to dust I shall return. It's a reminder to me, if you haven't figured it out yet, that life is short. Now, you young people, you think life is long, but I'm here to tell you it's not true. Time is an illusion. It seems long, but it's really very short. And if you live to be 70, 80, 90, it's still short. And we are meant to live forever, but not in these human bodies, but we will live in eternal bodies. And we live our life with that purpose. Is that a game changer? It's a game changer, isn't it? So that the ash reminds us of that. It was also a tradition in Bible days when you repented, you covered yourself in sackcloth and ashes, right? We don't do that anymore. Is anybody grateful? That's the old covenant. We're living in the new covenant, right? And Jesus took care of that for us, right? So we don't have to cover ourselves in sackcloth and ashes. But we do want to use this time as a time for fasting. And we're going to talk about some creative ways to do that. Because the Council of Nicaea was an ecumenical council taking place before, I don't know if you know your church history, but before the Eastern Church split from the Western Church. Do you understand that part of your history? That's where the Roman Catholic Church came from, when they split in the Greek Orthodox Church. And before that ever happened, of course, the Council of Nicaea was there, and Lent was celebrated both by Catholics and by Protestants. So I don't want you to think this is just for this group or that group. We get to participate. And here's the cool part. There's no rules. I'm glad in the Nicene Creed it just said we're going to have Lent. So we can do whatever we want. And so we're going to fashion it to what I think God has put on my heart for our church and some things that we want to do to get the most out of Lent. You say, well, what is the 40? Because you just said Easter's 46 days away. Well, by church tradition, and we want to pick up on that tradition, if you remove all your Sundays from now till Easter, you'll come up with the 40. And here's the really cool part that I like, because when I think about fasting and I think about giving up some things, and my wife and I have been talking about what it is we want to set aside, and I'm going to give you some creative ideas tonight to do. The great news is Sunday is not a fast day. It's a celebration day. It's a feast day. So whatever it is you're doing, it doesn't count on Sunday. Is anybody in on that? I like that. All right. I didn't know that the first time I did it, and I fasted from coffee for 46 days and almost ended my life. I didn't know I could have coffee on Sunday. So whatever it is God lays on your heart, again, I want to reiterate to you, we're not trying to earn God's favor. We're not trying to get God to do anything for us, because we live in the new covenant and it's all by grace. But this can be a special time. And I'm going to ask our ushers to come forward, Mark, and maybe Frank, if you could help. And I'm going to have you distribute these books that are on the table. Because this year, as we do every year, we're going to give you a Lenten journal. And what we'd like you to do during this season, during these 46 days, and we're going to write down what God speaks to us. Because I believe with all my heart that if you'll open your heart, and I think Diana said that as she opened worship, you know, if we'll just open ourselves up, we'll get out of this whatever we allow God to put in it. And so I'd like for you, and you might not be a journaler. You say, man, how many of you journal? You start journaling at the beginning of the year, and then that journal sits for a couple weeks, right? Well, I want you to know that's okay. But during Lent, that's not going to happen. During Lent, and I'm going to give you a helper. During Lent, you're going to write something every single day in this book. And you'll notice with your book, you have this little book. And this, you're going to love this. It's called the Easter Code. And actually, there are 42 codes in here. Uh-oh, what? Well, because in this little book, we're going to count Palm Sunday and Easter as part of our code, okay? So that's why there's going to be 42. And every day, this is real simple. I'm wanting you to commit to this. Every day, I want you to read two pages. And in it, you're going to find some scriptures. In it, you're going to find a devotional thought. And in it, you're going to find a code word. One word every day. And we're going to do the first word tonight. Every day, you're going to find one word. And I want you to write that word down and take it through your day with you. And the next day, you're going to have another word, all right? And then there's going to be a little prayer. And I want to encourage you to pray through these scriptures. Just pray through these scriptures. Make them personal. Just open your heart up. Let God do something special during this time. Now say, what about fasting, Pastor? Well, here, do you have this in your book? Did Donna put this in for you? I think she did. It might not be this color. It's probably a different color. Creative fasting. Now, some of you, I know somebody wasn't going to come tonight because they thought they were signing up not to eat for 40 days. Well, Jesus did that. I'm not saying you can't do that, but you better hear from God. That might be difficult. But there's all kinds of way to fast. And this is an article. In fact, I think we gave it to you last year. The Village Church put this out. And I just think this is what I'm going to do. Okay, so if you want to follow your pastor, you can follow this. But or some version of it. What they propose is every week you do something different. I like that. Every week do something different. Here's an example. First week, you fast food. Now, that can be a meal. Connie whispered in my ear tonight what she's going to be doing on that first week as far as food goes. You might pick lunch or you might, who knows? I'm not going to tell you what to do. You say, well, why are we doing this? You're creating a void, a space for God to fill with something else. If you've never fasted food, you ought to try it. Because you'd be amazed how much time we spend thinking about food, cooking food, preparing food, shopping for food. And to take that and just carve that out and say, God, whenever I feel hunger pains, I'm going to spend that time with you. So read this, and there's some creative ways to do it where you can spend some time, put on some music, and pray. Just give God the opportunity. You're not doing it so God will hear you and do something. You know, God's not going to do anything until you do this. No, you're opening up a space for God to come in. Second week, who could do this? Television and movies. Anybody on board for that one? Just cut out television. Week three, you can turn your TV back on, but turn off social networking and internet. Again, this is just a suggestion. See, these are things you can do. Week four, this is one I did the whole time. I like this setup better. Caffeine and sweets for 1 week, okay? Can you do that? Week five, radio, podcasts, music. Week six, shopping for non-essentials. I want to watch that happen. That would be awesome. And week seven, sleep. Sleep. So what do you mean? You got to have sleep. Yeah, I'm not saying you don't sleep, but maybe get up an hour early. Or you go to bed an hour late. Some of you are night people, some of you are morning people. Figure out a time and say, Lord, this week, every day, I'm going to fast part of my sleep routine, and I'm going to create a space for you to minister to me. And then you're going to be able to, of course, write down the things that God says to you, all right? So I want to just share a few things with you here before we do this. And we're going to have a time tonight where you can just reflect on some things. The first word, if you open your book, is done. D-O-N-E, that's your first word, done. Not do, done. Do's in the word, but we're not talking about do, we're talking about done. It is the work of Jesus that's already been accomplished and finished for us. And you can read the wonderful devotion here that goes with this. It talks about Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. We live in this great time of grace and mercy. The prophets dreamed about it. They thought about it, but you get to live it. And the angels even were long to look into this. We are saved by grace through what? Faith, lest any man should boast. We're not saved by works. It's a done thing. We're not working for it. We're not earning it. We often say, you don't work your way into it. You don't work your way out of it. Remember, and they even mention it in this book, we often talk about this, grace is you getting what you don't deserve, and mercy's not getting what you do deserve. All right? And that's what the ashes remind us of. All right? So our word today, we're at the end of the day. If we could have done this in the morning, we would have had all day. So you're going to grab it tonight. You're going to go to bed with it. And you're going to celebrate that the work of God is done. It's done. It's finished. And you're going to celebrate it. And the code word is, no matter what you do or don't do, or what you give up, All right, is that what we're going to be doing here at 40 days? Doesn't matter. He says, no matter what, your salvation is not spelled D-O. It's spelled D-O-N-E. And if there's somebody here struggling with that tonight, man, this is going to be a great season for you. All right, you're going to get a hold of this because it's done. Today, remember that Christ paid a huge price to redeem you. It is already done. Your part is to receive the gift by faith. All right? So you can read the rest of this. That's just today. Just some wonderful stuff in there that you can read and appreciate. And it's not long. So you say, well, I'm not a reader. You can read this. After you read it, you take your journal, like tonight, before you go to bed. You're going to write maybe some thoughts about D-O-N-E. Done. What's that mean for you? Is that significant? All right? Now I want to read some scriptures to you because we're going to prepare and have a time of reflection, where God is going to speak to you some things, all right? Hebrews 12. Therefore, now this is written to Christians. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. And what have we been singing about tonight? Looking unto Jesus. That's what we're going to do during these 46 days. We're just going to be looking unto Jesus. And one of the things we're going to do, even though it's a done thing, it's already been done, how many of you still have to deal with your flesh every day? And I think the writer, I love the imagery he used. There are snares that easily ensnare us. I almost see it like seaweed if you're in the water and it wraps itself around you. And I don't know what that's like for you. I know what it's like for me. And one of the things you'll see with your book, there was a little white piece of paper. Did you see that? During our reflection time, I want you to take that piece of paper. And if you need an ink pen, by the way, we've got pens up here. And just raise your hand. The usher will bring you a pen so you can write even before you leave tonight. What I want you to do, and that's what these ashes are, I want you to pray and ask this question. What is it right now in your life that you'd like to get rid of, that's entangling you, that is weighting you down and not letting you move forward in your spiritual life? What is that? It's going to be different for everybody. But I want you to write that on a piece of paper. And when you come forward for communion later on, I'm going to have you put it in this bucket right here in front of these flowers. There's a big metal bucket. Now, last year we burned it as you went out, but it's too cold. So what we're going to do, and I guarantee you this, no one's going to read what you write down. In fact, as soon as we're done, we're going to put some fluid in there, and we're going to burn all of it and put it in the jar. All right, so no one's going to read it. But I want you to write on that piece of paper something you'd like to see God do in your life in the next 40 days, specifically in light of Hebrews 12. What kind of weight is there in your life? What might it be? What could it be? You say, well, as a Christian, you're not supposed to have any weights. Well, that's not what Hebrews says. It says there are weights and there are sins. And we need to identify those. And here's what I'm wanting you to do tonight. Call it by name. Don't just say, oh, that sin thing. I want you to, it's got a name, and I want you to call it by name tonight and write it on that piece of paper, and then we're going to burn it. Anything you put in this bucket tonight is going to be burned and put into the jar, all right? And every time you come in the prayer room, you're going to see it. I had a little kid come up there. They said, oh, he said, I think that's mine right there. I didn't have the heart to tell him. I don't know how you would know that, but it's in there. You can know that for sure. And that's what we want to see happen to it, all right? And I believe you can claim that right now, tonight. That's something we want to see happen. So here's some scriptures I want to read with you. And then we're going to read a prayer of confession, all right? Hold your hand up if you need a pen. They're going to come around. And you can keep those pens. Oh, you got the good pens in the foyer. That's okay. That's all right. These are cheap pens that were up here. But those are good pens. When we think about fasting, here's a scripture I want you to consider. I'm going to read it from the New Living Translation. It's Isaiah 58, verses 3 through 12. Write that scripture down, because wherever you get ready to fast, read this scripture. We have fasted before you. why aren't you impressed? God, why aren't you impressed? We're doing all these things. That's what could easily happen with Ash Wednesday and the whole season of Lent. It could just be a show. He says, we have been very hard on ourselves, and you don't even notice it. Don't you see? I've denied myself all these things. I will tell you why. Isaiah 58, verses 3 through 12. I will tell you why. It is because you are fasting to please yourself. Even while you fast, you keep oppressing your workers. What good is fasting when you keep on fighting and quarreling? Hello? Need that today, don't we? This kind of fasting will never get you anywhere. You humble yourself by going through the motions of penance, bowing your heads like reeds bending in the wind. You dress in burlap and you cover yourself with ashes. Is this what you call fasting? Do you really think this will please the Lord? No. This is the kind of fasting I want. And here's what God's going to tell us. This is the kind of fasting he wants. Free those who are wrongly imprisoned. Lighten the burden of those who work for you and let the oppressed go free. And remove the chains that bind people and share your food with the hungry. And give shelter to the homeless and give clothes to those who need them. And do not hide from relatives who need your help. Then your salvation will come like the dawn and your wounds will quickly heal. Your godliness will lead you forward, and the glory of the Lord will protect you from behind. Then when you call, the Lord will answer, yes, I am here, he will quickly reply. Remove the heavy yoke of oppression. Stop pointing your finger and speaking vicious rumors. Feed the hungry and help those in trouble. Then your light will shine out from the darkness, and the darkness around you will be as bright as noon. The Lord will guide you continually, giving you water when you are dry and restoring your strength. And you will be like a well-watered garden, like an ever-flowing spring. Some of you will rebuild the deserted ruins of your cities, and then you will be known as a rebuilder of the walls and the restorer of homes. Matthew 6 tells us this about fasting. When you fast, don't make it obvious. That's where I have a hard time with marking ourselves so everybody can see. But I also know it has a place. It's a great time for people to inquire and you can talk. But beyond that, you know, we're not going to brag about what we're doing or tell it. In fact, do it in secret. Don't make it obvious as the hypocrites do, for they try to look miserable. And so the people will admire them for their fasting. We're not going to do that. I tell you the truth, that is the only reward they will ever get. But when you fast, comb your hair and wash your face. Then no one will notice that you are fasting, except your Father who knows what you do in private, and your Father who sees everything will reward you. Secondly, offer fasting as worship. Acts 13:2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit now separated to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Notice they were fasting and God gave them direction. Why? Because they created a space to hear God's voice. Luke 2:37, and this woman was a widow. Her name was Anna, about 84 years old. Do we have anybody here 84 or older? No? She did not depart from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayers night and day. We do have somebody? All right. Thirdly, pray for your heart to come into agreement with God's heart. This is important. We're not fasting to change God's mind. We're fasting to change your mind. It's not to change God's mind, but your mind. Isn't that what repentance is? It's to change your mind. Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect. 2 Corinthians 10:5. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. I think you'll have that experience over the next 40 days. Pray for that the inner man will be strengthened and your flesh will be weakened. What did John pray? This needs to be our prayer during Lent. I must what? Decrease so he can increase. You can have that experience over the next 40 days. Ephesians 3:16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through the Spirit in the inner man. Pray for breakthroughs and tearing down of strongholds. 2 Corinthians 10:3, taking every thought captive for Christ. Amen. So now, here's what I want to do before we come and take communion. I want you to ask the Lord, what weight, what snare has you tied up right now? And you're going to write it on that paper. No one's going to see it but you and God. And as you do it, this season, I know we don't like this. This feels negative, but it's a time of repentance. It's a time to stop. In fact, some of the words used for Lent mean spring. What do you do in the springtime? What we call it? Spring cleaning, right? Spring cleaning. We're going to do some spring cleaning. God wants to, why? It's done. It's done already. Why does God want us to walk in this place of purity and holiness? Why does he want us to be free from these things that ensnare us? Because they do ensnare us, and he loves us, and he wants us to be free. And Lent is a great time for God to do that work. And I can't think of a better example, and I'm going to close with this scripture. Every time I read this on a regular basis, and it moves me. It's David's prayer. And we know about David's sin, right? How'd you like to have a hymnal with your sin written in it? Because that's what it says here in Psalms 51. It has a little, it's not the scripture, but it's a note at the top. It says, to the chief musician, a psalm of David when Nathan the prophet went to him after he had gone into Bathsheba. How'd you like to have a church hymn with that heading, with your sin on it? Whew. Well, here's how it goes. Have mercy on me, O God. This is how you're going to pray, especially with whatever you wrote on that paper. You're going to ask God for mercy. Who's mercy for? The guilty. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgression. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. This is where we're starting on our journey. You can pray this. You're a child, you're a son, you're a daughter. You can ask this, just like David did. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before you. Against you and you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. Here it is. Purge me. You're going to ask God to do this tonight. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sin and blot out all my iniquities. And this is the prayer I like to pray all the time. Lord, create in me a clean heart. Would you like to have that for Lent? Lord, create in me a clean heart and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with your generous spirit. All right, that's our prayer of confession. It's Bible. You can pray it. Just make it personal. Forget about David. Say, this is a psalm about Joe. Put your name in there. and pray that prayer, make it very personal. And I guarantee you do that, you're going to make a space for God to work in your life. Amen. Are you ready for this to be a special time? Okay, we're going to ask Diana to come. We're actually going to sing this scripture. All right, we're going to sing it. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. So what I want you to do during this time here, before we come for communion, I want you to pray that prayer of confession. Write on your piece of paper, whatever it is, and let's pray what David prayed. Sing it with me, will you?
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation.
Now we're going to prepare our hearts to come to the table, and we're going to do what Paul instructed the early church to do, and that is to take time, which we're doing, which we often don't get to do that on Sunday, but just take some time to let God speak into our hearts. Are there things that he says you want to be able to discern the body properly, and that's horizontal and vertical? I just want you to approach this season not as a time of restriction. The word I sense coming is freedom. Freedom is coming. And by the time we get to Easter, 46 days from now, you're going to celebrate Easter in a whole different way. And it's going to be a celebration of freedom. Amen? You ready for that? But you're going to have to create a space. That's what this is about. Don't make it a legalistic thing. Let it be a freedom thing. Let God's grace and mercy flow. Take your piece of paper. Do you have it? Fold it up real small. And when you come forward for communion, take your time. I want you to drop it in the bucket right here, whatever you wrote on there. When you drop it in there, say the word freedom. Because God's going to do a work in us. We're going to create a space for him over these next few days. It's going to be awesome. And then make sure you record it and read it. Some of you have your books from last year, don't you? So you're just going to keep on writing, and that's good. I encourage you to do that. Some of you are just starting new. But just make space. That's all it is. We're going to make space for him for this time. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to gather here tonight and to begin our journey. We're at the starting line. Now we're going to start walking, and we're going to follow you in this little Easter code. Lord, we're going to follow you in the places you went and the people you met and spoke to and the parables you spoke and the promises you gave. Lord, we're going to, every day, we're going to get to experience that. And by the time we get to Easter, we're just going to be absorbed in this. And it's just, and we're going, I believe the word that will come forth is freedom. And that's why you came to earth, to set us free. Lord, would you help us on this journey be able to receive all you have for us as we take this first step. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Father, we are amazed. We are amazed at your mercy. We are amazed at your grace that has come to us freely. We don't have to earn it. We don't have to work for it. We're just going to receive it tonight. Lord, we write done over our lives. It's done. It's done. The work is finished. And now we receive that gift. And as we finish this journey, I believe you're going to have many things to show us, but we begin here. It is the foundation of our faith. The gospel. You came, Lord, you came and you lived and you died and you were buried and you rose again. This is the good news, and we celebrate it tonight, and we thank you for your gift to us in Jesus' name.
I am reminded in Scripture of two words, and they describe covenant. First word is suntheke, and it describes covenant between equals. So it's as if John and I drew up an agreement. But there's a second word, and it's diatheke, and it's where the greater makes covenant with the lesser. And not only makes covenant, cuts covenant, actually initiates covenant. So God in his sovereign completeness looked down and said, I will do for them what they can't do for themselves. And so God did the do so that you can live the done. God did the do, you can live the done. So as we go into this season, let's enjoy the done. Let's celebrate the done. Let's open our hearts and make space, as Pastor said, for him to come in and maybe even explode the done a bit more. Father, we thank you for the season. We thank you for this evening. We thank you, Lord, that your word is not restricted to traditions, but you take things that are even traditional and cause us to stop and consider. Thank you for that. I thank you for that. Because my background is about as non-traditional as it comes. But you stop us and we appreciate it. We ask, Lord, that as we go from here, you will speak to us. That as we record things in our journals, that you'll cause them to solidify. We trust you for that. I thank you for your church. I ask your blessing on this people during this season. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless.